Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
Okay, Dex and I were doing the math here, Judd. We're 10 days away. 10 days away from actual, meaningful, regular season baseball, which is a good thing because I feel like these spring games, I don't personally like really care about wins and losses in spring games, but the Twins have one spring training win in like the last 2 weeks. They're like 7-14, so it'd be nice to just kind of move on from spring training here and get to the actual regular season.
Yeah. It feels like there was a time when... And it was probably because I was younger when it felt slightly more important to win a few games here and there. I don't think anybody gives a damn now.
I mean, it's not like the worst thing in the world if you dominate spring training. Like, I don't think there's a ton to be gleaned. It's not the best feeling that they're 7-14, but I don't know that that changes the Vegas odds on who's winning the division.
So that's not part of any of your overreactions then, the win-loss record in spring training? You guys are good there?
I'm barely paying attention to the wins. And losses. As long as we get games on, you know what I want? Games on TV. I will overreact by the limited amount of games.
It is.
Yeah. It's hard. We can't apply the eye test, you know, if we're not down there.
Has Probst called a game yet?
Yeah. Bally's did something, I think.
They did on like Saturday, but it was the radio call.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So it was Chris
He was doing, a week and a half ago, he was doing a game at Williams Arena. You know, he's, now the Big Ten season's over, so maybe he can get down there, warm up the pipes. You don't want to just start cold your first time being the voice and face of Twins baseball.
Warm up the pipes. Come on, Corey, get those pipes warm. What if he's disappeared because they've had him in like some type of Bally Sports shed reprogramming him?
Wait, what do you mean reprogramming him?
Well, you know, Corey calls a great game, and like on CCO, he's very much down the middle, and like he'll get mad at the Twins if things go wrong. What if he starts out the season and he's just like, everything is just great here, everything's fantastic. Julian made an error there, but let's talk about that because, you know, that's really not his fault. I've been told the groundskeepers here didn't do a great job. What if he's been reprogrammed? What if they've gotten the Corey program?
Give us the old Corey back.
I want my Corey back.
Give him back. So apparently wins and losses aren't going to be an overreaction, but who wants to start with a spring training overreaction here? It's been our weekly segment the last few weeks.
I say we let our guy Dex go.
Yeah, I'll go here. I'll start us off. I'll give you one. I saw late last night, this came across, not too late last night actually, the Royals announced their opening day starter. Cole Reagans will start opening day for the Kansas City Royals. So that's what the Twins have on opening day. Reagans was actually part of the Chapman trade that went from the Rangers to the Royals. And Reagans last year, when he went to Kansas City, was actually pretty effective in 12 starts. He had a sub-3 ERA, struck out a lot of guys. But the big headline here is, I'm not going to talk too much Royals, he's a lefty. He's a lefty, which means...
Oh, so Julian might not even play opening day? Is that what you're saying?
Julian might not. Kirilloff certainly won't. Wallner probably won't. So this means my first overreaction, my long-winded way of getting here, is Carlos Santana is the perfect leadoff man for the Minnesota Twins to start the 2024 season.
Wait, you've already moved off your Kyle Farmer leadoff take from last week?
I have. I wouldn't be surprised. I've done a little mock lineups, and I'll give you one more mock lineup probably later this week on what that looks like. But Carlos Santana, the perfect guy to start the season for the Minnesota Twins. Santana's actually has bat leadoff 132 times in his career, an OPS of 854. Fun fact, that's the highest spot of any part in the order for Carlos Santana. So this guy draws walks. He obviously has a lot of pop. Carlos Santana, one of the last additions, old man, 38 years old coming in here. A lot of young nucleus players on the Twins roster. But the guy who's going to step in the box for the first time, and Rocco even, I think, talked about this over the weekend, that they've given a lot of thought to him being the leadoff man when facing a left-handed pitcher. It's old man Carlos Santana, the perfect guy to start your season batting leadoff for your Twins on opening day.
So just to go back to a nugget you just floated out there. So of all the places he's hit in the order, which he's hit probably in almost every spot in the order in his career, that leadoff is his best OPS?
Yes, that is correct. Yep, 854. He
loves to work the count, man.
Works a ton of counts.
We've seen it here before.
Yeah, he's only hit 257 from a batting average standpoint. But yeah, OPS-wise, 854 is his best spot. I mean, he spent the majority of his career batting fourth. He's bat cleanup for the most part for those Guardians teams. Sure. But yeah, that's the biggest spot is batting first in the lineup. So it's kind of funny. We talked about how many of these young players are going to take the big step. Obviously, in Julian, Kirilloff, Wallner, etc. But I think it's going to be Carlos Santana who ends up batting leadoff when they open their season here in 10 days.
I like it. I think people are going to point to, well, you know, he's in his upper 30s. What is he, 37, 38 years old?
Professional at bats.
He's not very fast. Yeah, like I personally would rather have on-base machine guy setting the table and then worry about the speed part later. Like getting on base is more important. And you've seen so many times in Twins history where they'll put Matt Tolbert up in the 2 slot because he's speedy and can slap. No, just give me a guy that can get on base 35, 38% of the time first. And if he happens to be fast, that's a great secondary trait. But don't just put a guy up there because he's like Billy Hamilton used to bat leadoff for the Reds under Dusty Baker for years.
So fast.
And he was the fastest player in baseball. He also never got on base. So
are you questioning Dusty Baker? World Series winning manager, a man who railroaded your Cubs right into oblivion.
He is one of the great managers of all time. I probably could have said that anecdote without throwing Dusty Baker under the bus, but here we are.
When it comes to the bullpen at times, he wasn't. Can I jump the line here? Because I would like to... I've been debating this hot take, because it's a hot take. But Declan sets it up perfectly. Because, as Phil said, southpaw, towing the slab for the Royals. So,
slab.
So,
hold on.
Slab.
The slab.
Baseball. Oh, love it. Oh, that's good. So with the southpaw towing the slab, the odds say, as Phil just said, that Julian will not be starting that day because he doesn't usually start against left-handers. My overreaction is this. It will not be Kyle Farmer at second base. It will be Brooks Lee.
Wow.
Brooks Lee is making... Look.
Wow. Switch hitter.
These are overreactions, folks. This is a safe space to overreact to what we're seeing in spring training, okay?
This guy has done everything that you've asked in spring training. And I know spring training is spring training, and we can quibble about successes as well as failures. But this guy is making a serious bid. He's not being held around here as like, he's a good kid, and we really like his spunk in the clubhouse. He is putting on a show. He went to Dunedin yesterday because it's a long bus trip and played shortstop because obviously Carlos Correa was not, right?
That's the town that Judd Zolgad built, by the way, Dunedin, Florida.
I love Dunedin. on St. Patrick's Day, oh, I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, God.
That Irish town, they are down in the brewskis. It's fantastic. I have been there myself on St. Patrick's Day. Don't remember a lot of it, but Brooks Lee does. And Brooks Lee, I think, is making a very serious bid to be playing second base on March 28th in Kansas City.
He has had a wonderful spring. He was quoted over the weekend. So he had a homer and a triple. I think it was his first spring training home run. But he's just been knocking the cover off the ball. And he was asked by one of the reporters down there, you know, do you feel like, what's the feeling that you're mashing here and there's still a good chance you start at AAA? And he said all the right things. And he said, I'm actually even more excited now. It's like even makes the path even clearer for me to go down to AAA. He's not, some guys get real sour about, and I had been around a couple players. I won't throw them under the bus, but there was one player in particular that wound up being a really key contributor for the Twins for years and years that was like inconsolable at the end of a really good spring training when they said, now we're going to start you in the minor leagues. I think Brooks Lee is kind of, hey man, whatever, I'll go down. If you want me to go mash at AAA for a month, that's cool. If it's 2 months, that's cool. And we'll see what happens. If and when he cracks the 26, whether it's for opening day like Judd is overreacting to, who goes off the roster? Is it Farmer?
Possibly.
It's probably not Castro, right? Because
No.
It's so tough because
I think it's more like Farmer.
You have really good infielders and you're trying not to bump. Like, I want to see Kirilloff.
Do you move?
Kirilloff actually has been really good the last couple weeks. Like, I'm not.
Do you take Wallner's roster spot? Because you got outfielders. You have Castro that can play the outfield. You have Margot that can play the outfield. Do you take Wallner's spot?
Yeah, Wallner has 2 hits in a month in spring training here.
Yeah, he's making a bid not to start the year here. Like, I still think odds are he will, but he's trying hard not to start the year in Minneapolis.
But then you've got two starting second basemen. I mean, Brooks Lee can play any number of positions.
Right.
I don't think you want to bring him up unless he's playing every day, though.
Correct.
I'd rather him play every day at AAA than, you know, play twice a week in the majors. But, I mean, you talk about a champagne problem if he's banging on the door.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. I'm going to give you an overreaction. I'm going to give you, it's kind of the opposite. Some people are overreacting to something, and I want to tell them to not overreact.
Okay.
Okay. I know it's kind of the inverse of this segment. Pablo Lopez in 4 spring training starts. I need the music too.
Yep.
I don't even know if I can
continue
until
the end. There you go. Okay.
He has a 7.07 ERA and 6 home runs allowed in 4 spring training starts. And I see some panic out there. Don't panic. Irrelevant. His velocity is the same. He's still throwing 94.5, 95 miles an hour. His strikeouts are still there. And it's a spring training sample size. In fact, he's a veteran enough pitcher where he might just be out there working on stuff that has no connection to, like, you know, the game situation. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there, you know, I'm just going to throw a few extra fastballs today because I want to get my fastball grip down or command. So for anyone that's overreacting to Pablo Lopez 7.07 ERA and 6 home runs allowed in 4 starts, take a deep breath, calm down. He's still one of the 10 best starting pitchers in all of baseball.
Yeah, I saw in the start that he made on Saturday against Tampa Bay, in which he gave up the 4 solo home runs, I saw him also say post game that he couldn't throw one of his pitches because of a finger problem. There's things that he is, I think this is one of those ones. Pitchers in spring training, especially guys like this, are so hard to judge because they literally use their starts just to practice things.
Yeah. I also think if there's a couple red flags that would matter and we aren't seeing them, a dip in velocity would be a red flag, especially at this point where, we're like 10 days out and you're throwing 89. That'd be a problem. He's not. He's throwing 95. And command and control would be another one. if he had, so he, I think he has two walks. Yeah, two walks and four starts. If he had like seven walks or something and the velocity was down, okay.
I've decided to be wild.
Now we can.
You know what I've decided to do, Rocco? Throw slower, and I am wild as hell. What do you think of this?
Six hit batters, you know, I think.
Yeah.
I'd be asking some questions, but I am not at all concerned about this one.
Nope. In fact, I thought about actually doing the opposite of what you just did and overreacting, and I couldn't even get myself worked up to do that, so I just quit on that one.
You were going to try and get...
Well, I was like, okay, he's not pitching well. Is there something to... And then I looked at it, and like you said, the walks aren't high. The velocity remains fine. Like, there was nothing... Like, everything he's struggling with, he's basically controlling.
Yeah.
Like, and again, these are controlling his struggles.
These are spring training samples to... You know, think about in a regular season major league start, you're going to go out there, you're going to throw 90 pitches, 105 pitches. You're going to be out there for like six or seven innings. You might have a bad third inning. Oh, boom, two-run homer. Or maybe it's a three-run homer or something. But then you get the rest of the game to sort of get back on track and still finish with a quality start or something.
Right.
Spring training, you're going out there for... At first, you're going out there for two innings and then three innings. And I think he went maybe, was it three or four in his last start? So a bad inning is going to inflate your ERA and make it look way worse.
Mm-hmm. So just
deep breath. Calm down. You guys want to do another round?
We can do another lap. I got another lap for you. I can do another lap.
I have another one.
Yep.
Okay, Declan.
Next one for me. Every other pitcher in St. Paul is a more reliable option than Anthony DeSclafani making a trip in the rotation.
Wow.
That is my overreaction here. That's
the
my next
DeSclafani
one.
DeSclafani slander on this podcast is quite
Why
impressive.
Now?
I was willing to give it a little bit of time here. Like, okay, maybe he does got to wait a little bit. He had an elbow issue. He still really isn't showing any signs of being able to pick up the ball and throw it across the plate effectively. So if it's Louis Varland, if it's David Festa that gets called up, for God's sakes, is Randy Dobnak going to be like able to throw a baseball for the Twins at some point? DeSclafani got thrown in as like this add-in from, you know, two different teams at this point as he's made his way to the Twins. And yeah. The Twins won't need a fifth starter till basically the third week in the season. They have off days built in from their first, obviously, opening series with the Royals. They obviously have an off day built in between their home opener against the Guardians. And then they do have a run from April 6th through the 17th. They don't have an off day, so they will have to have a fifth starter in there somewhere for a few starts. But Anthony DeSclafani, this is trending already in the wrong direction. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they just start him on the injured list, and maybe they just have a couple spot starts that are made from Varland or Fester, whoever it is from St. Paul.
I mean, we need someone to do the research on the last like 20 years. When you see a pitcher has a partially torn UCL or a UCL problem and doesn't get surgery.
Yeah.
How many of them make it through X amount of time, like a season or two seasons, unscathed?
Yeah.
Well, pretty rarely.
And plus it's the, with this guy, the double whammy too, because DeSclafani was what's up?
Put some respect on that name,
DeSclafani.
Mm.
DeSclafani.
DeSclafani. As Phil, I don't know, drops out. I think he was so upset at you, he just had to leave.
It's close enough. But he's been double whammied because he was thrown into two trades. You know what happened? Phil made fun of me.
That was weird.
That was weird.
Yeah, you know why? You know why?
I'm not making fun of you.
The internet
I'm not
gods,
making fun of you.
This guy deserves respect when he shows us respect by pitching competently. And at Declan's point, he hasn't pitched competently yet because he can't pitch at all. But
he hasn't pitched incompetently
but
yet,
he basically has been thrown into two trades with cash. So, like,
take him.
You take him. No, you take him. Come on. Giants, you take him. All right. Hold on a second. Hot potato. Twins, you take him. It's the musical chairs of pitching. But the Varland thing, I think, is I think this is how Varland gets his chance. I really do.
You know, we may have been, I feel like all of us, like mostly who watched him pitch out of the bullpen, like, wow, let's just leave him there, right? And, okay, he was kind of a little shaky as a starter. Oh, he was also really young in his starting career. But there's a chance. I mean, his stuff plays as a starter, too, and it has in the minor league level, so I'm coming around to the, I really wanted him just as a flame throwing late inning guy, but you know what? You can always pull that lever at any point. You can pull that lever in June.
playoffs.
You can pull it for the playoffs like they did last year.
Yep.
So I am curious to see starter Louis Varland with a great safety net of him just being like your third best flame-throwing reliever at some point later this year.
And plus now, the bullpen, so compared to when we started that discussion, the bullpen looks better now. So like at the time, it's like, well, that makes a lot of sense because the top end of your bullpen was really good and the back end was more questionable. Like the bullpen now looks solid, but yeah, I think this is trending where he probably does start the season the first time that they need a fifth starter as the guy. I don't think it's that hard.
No. Yeah. DeSclafani.
DeSclafani. DeSclafani. He ain't gonna DeSal ain't gonna pitch here much.
Not gonna pitch here much. Okay, I have another one it's the opposite. So I'm kind of breaking the rules here. It's something people are overreacting to that I question.
You
I know.
Just come on here and you've just like, I know. What is this?
Well, but the segment is called Spring Training Overreactions. So technically it could be either one where it's like your own overreaction or it's something that other people are overreacting to that you want to pour cold water.
I feel like you're twisting this. I feel like
I'm probably am.
I feel like you're judging this.
I think you're probably right. And you would know.
Oh, this I would do this. Yeah, that's why I'm mad props
what
to
if
you.
I did this?
So a lot of people are picking the Tigers to win the American League Central. I even saw, who the hell was it? Yeah, there was a national talking head had the Tigers going to the...
Trevor May picked him to win the Central.
Trevor May. But he had him going to the World Series, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't see that. I know he's picking
I think he had the Tigers making like a huge run. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And so their rotation is really interesting.
Yeah.
Kenta Maeda is likely, I think he's their opening day starter. I don't know if they've announced that or not, but 36 years old, he's still a good starting pitcher. Tarek Skubal is their number two starter, big strikeout guy, young pitcher. Mm-hmm. Jack Flaherty, like 4 or 5 years ago, was on a list of, wow, bright, young, flashing star pitchers. He's got to get it back on track. But then the wild card in all of this is probably Casey Mize, who was the number one overall pick like 5 years ago. And he is fully recovered from Tommy John surgery. So if he all of a sudden comes to the top of that rotation. But I would still say that anyone picking the Tigers to go that far, just let's deep breath, calm down here. I guess if you're looking at the Tigers and trying to find a way where like they're going to be a 90-win team and look at the Twins and try and bring them back into the mid-80s, I don't know that there's that type of action happening in the American League Central this year.
No, they're not. No, like, okay, picking them to win the Central is a lot. Picking them to go to the World Series. I love Trevor May, but that is preposterous.
He's not the only one, by the way. There's like there's a groundswell of Tigers truthers out there that believe this is the year that they make a big jump and become relevant again.
Speaking of velocity, let's talk about that because Maeda, there is a disturbing trend. If you're a Tigers fan, okay, uh-oh. He is so. His fastball last season, coming back with the Twins, averaged 91 miles per hour and ticked up a little bit to 91.4 in 5 starts in August. This spring, his first start, 89.3. Second start, 89.5.
Wrapping up.
That's tough in today's baseball. Yeah.
Velocity's ticking down is what I'm saying. So who knows? The Twins might have sort of seen this coming. I don't know, but... Like, that's the type of thing, to your point about Lopez, like, that's something that you're not controlling. You're not like, I'm going to decrease, unless you're working on something. So I just think that that's an interesting sort of, at least a little red flag there with Kenta Maeda.
You know, it's crazy about, you know, 89 miles an hour. That used to be the average fastball for a starting pitcher not that long ago. Like, 10 or 12. Like
crazy.
If you threw, like, 90, 91, you were... You were fine. It was the guys that threw maybe 85, 86 that got to be on the low end. And now it's like, if you're throwing 90 or 91, you're on the low end. And it's like, oh, I don't know. Is this guy's stuff going to play in today's baseball? It's incredible.
Yep. Nope. All right. Here's my last one.
Presented by our friends at Nicolet Law.
Oh, that's Russ. Right. Yeah. Sing it, Russ.
Our guy, Russ. Before we get to Judd's final overreaction here. So Nicolet Law has jumped on board. Across the Score North network of podcasts.
Thank
the
you.
Exclusive personal injury law firm of the Score North Twin Show. Now, Nicolet Law knows that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a stop. Things can get complicated. And during that time, insurance companies are likely to pressure you, pester you. They don't care about your medical bills piling up. Nicolet Law does, though. They've seen every pitch insurance companies have to throw, and they'll be there to barrel that pitch up and hit it over the fence. I don't know where this analogy is going. Mm-hmm. But you can get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolet by calling 1-855-NICOLET or go to NicoletLaw.com. Also, we're not like smart college basketball people around here, but we do like to fill out a bracket and pretend like we know something.
Yep.
And
yep.
That's what we're doing at scorenorth.com/bracket. It's the bracket challenge powered by Nicolet Law. And so we're going to give away prizes for first, second, and third place among the Score North audience that wants to play against us. The winner will be crowned on the Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd podcast. We'll bring you on, maybe do some write that down predictions and crown you. And the winner will receive also two VIP tickets, which are sold out to the Purple Daily Draft Party on April 25th. At the Fillmore. It's the Score North Bracket Challenge powered by Nicolet Law. Enter at scorenorth.com/bracket. That's scorenorth.com/bracket.
I might pick names out of a hat. I'm dead serious. I might pick names out of a hat.
You should
probably do well.
You should. It'd be hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's that, and that's where I that's all I was going to say about the bracket. So yeah, I might pick names out of a hat. And we'll see my Cinderella story. Yep, that's what's going to happen.
And that's all I got to say about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, my final one here is I think it's an overreaction slightly, but I think it's rooted in something that is very possible, and it's this: the 2024 Twins will get the guy they signed in 2023 or thought they signed in Christian Vasquez. Hear me out. So a year ago, they signed him to a three-year, $30 million contract. This is a guy who has two World Series rings and had played in 31 playoff games. So like experience, good clubhouse guy, a good receiver, really moves around behind the plate. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that was probably being counted on to play more than Ryan Jeffers. Obviously, Jeffers has a great 2023, and Christian Vasquez at the plate, especially a disappointment. 223, 598 OPS, all among the worst of his career. This offseason, he decided, one, to improve his conditioning. Best shape of his life. Went from 215 to 208. Installed a pickleball court in his backyard. So he didn't just lose weight. He got himself in fundamentally improved shape, okay? So in spring training, and these are spring training stats, so keep this in mind, but it's a comparison. I'm going to give you the comparison. A year ago in spring training, it all started off bad and eventually got worse. 097, 152, 129, with two RBIs, no home runs in 10 games. In short, he was 3-for-31 at the plate. Mm. And that sort of, unfortunately for him, set a tone. This year, 7-for-25 at the plate in the same amount of games, 10 games. 280, 321, 400, a home run, four runs batted in. My point is, I think that there's this perception of, okay, Ryan Jeffers is going to play all the time. And we know for a fact that the Twins tried to shop Vasquez's contract in the offseason. They couldn't trade him. Oh my God, he's coming back, but what are you going to get? Not so fast, my Twins friends. I think Christian Vasquez has a very good chance to play more and contribute. And this is a great problem because it's not like, well, I thought Jeffers was going to catch 140 games, right?
No. Yeah.
I think the Twins might actually have two catchers that they can rely on both of them, and that Christian Vasquez is going to be the player that the Twins expected a year late.
Not to pour cold water on this, because I appreciate the Judd optimism, but you're
and
saying
how much research did I just do?
It was a deep dive.
That's a whole notepad of Christian.
You were
Vasquez.
Pulling those names
what's
out
the,
of a hat.
What's was, the highlighted yeah. part specifically? What that was a point
the disappointment
of emphasis.
Of last year. 223, 598. I mean, that's a really, really bad year.
But just to summarize here, you're saying he lost about 5 pounds and plays pickleball now, so he's going to
lost
explode.
7 pounds.
Seven pounds.
He lost 7 pounds, but his conditioning improved. And he also worked on his bat speed. He basically said his bat speed sucked, and he's worked on that. I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to be a bust again.
Yeah, I mean, he makes $10 million. He's literally one of the highest paid guys on the team, right? Pablo Lopez, Carlos Correa, there's a couple others. I mean, he's up there for sure.
Two catchers, man. Baseball. Two catchers.
So there you go. Some spring training overreactions here. We're excited to bring Trevor Plouffe on board to start his weekly appearances on the Score North Twin Show. If you haven't already, click the like button and the subscribe button on the brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched a couple weeks ago, and hit us with a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify if that's where you listen to your podcast. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.